Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Melissa has now grown into a Category 5 hurricane as it barrels toward Jamaica. ABC's Zaika Jachi is in Kingston, where the winds are calm now but will ramp up later today.
More than 650 emergency shelters are open, and officials, they've already pre-positioned thousands of food packages across the island. And, of course, the Norman Manley International Airport in Kingston, the main airport, that's already closed ahead of the storm, with other transportation options expected to follow. We know that all of the seaports are already closed.
Melissa's wind speeds right now 160 miles an hour. President Trump has landed in Tokyo as he continues his Asian tour. Later this week, he will sit down with Chinese leader Xi Jinping to talk about trade. Food assistance for some 40 million Americans will run out this weekend without a compromise on the government shutdown. And two suspects arrested over the weekend in connection with the jewel thief at the Louvre. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays, and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays to be made, and I think we just weren't executing those, and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive, and so I think the message was just do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
Pittsburgh will host the Colts. NBA. The Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Midwest Farm Report is brought to you by Brickstead Dairy Farms, a five-generation family-owned and operated dairy in Greenleaf. Local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. Brickstead Dairy Farms. Smart dairy. Healthy planet. BricksteadDairy.com.
This weekend, we all fall back. Daylight saving time ends and we turn our clocks back 1 hour. It's also a good time to check your smoke detectors and replace those batteries. Stay safe. Stay on time. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop into the low 40s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers with a high right around 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please,
something.
Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. I'll also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
About 40 million U.S. citizens looking at the possibility of not having access to their SNAP benefits by the end of the week. Wisconsin Farmers Union getting active to try to make sure that they're helping their local food pantries try to keep the supply coming. Welcome in on a Monday morning, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, and that's just one report we've got on the way. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, what can I tell you? Not a bad way to start the week. Looks like we'll have sunshine today. Daytime highs right around 58. Tomorrow, 30% chance of showers probably late in the afternoon on Tuesday. Otherwise, a mostly cloudy day, 58 the expected high. Wednesday, another chance of showers in the afternoon. Partly sunny day for the most part. Highs around 55. How much rain can we expect? Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has those details on the way. Talk text line is open. Don't forget, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Or if you'd like, download our brand new Midwest Farm Report app. You'll be able to keep up with us all day long in all different manners of platforms, and you'll also be able to interact with us there. Simply use the send button. You can send us pictures. You can send us videos. You can send us a voice message, whatever you need. Midwest Farm Report, available for both Apple and Android.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century. With a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low-shear pumping, along with efficient, high-capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps, for all your applications, will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
Oh, yeah! Here we go!
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on!
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
The state is moving through harvest, with many now getting started on corn, and with soybeans about wrapped up, it's a good time to see how the industry is doing when it comes to storage, transportation, and quality. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Dylan Beaver, a regional agronomy sales director out of south central Wisconsin, says that due to the amount of soybeans in storage, finding space for the corn may become an issue.
Yeah, right now, obviously we haven't seen China come in and buy beans here this fall, and has created a little bit of a different feel for our farmers. I think we're seeing a lot of beans stay on the farm this year, so putting it in their bins at home, maybe not as many come into town, and just really have seen, a lack of demand there. So, what does that mean for corn space? I think is the one thing that we're looking at is there going to be more corn coming to town this fall with the beans sitting in the bins? And, we've seen farmers definitely move beans into storage here just with the price of where they're at and choosing to wait to see if China does come and buy here later this year.
And then another aspect to the storage is that transportation. Once again, it seems like we're a broken record here with low water levels in the Mississippi River, so that transportation is slow. What's the transportation looking like? Are we able to use that rail or trucks, or is that just still too slow to keep up with the demand?
Yeah, I mean, the demand isn't so aggressive this year, just with the slow export program. So you are seeing beans move via truck to the processor or rail or barge, really, at this point. They've seen river basis firm up here in the last 2 weeks, just really around the mode of transportation. We have barges that need to float back south, so they don't want to send them empty, so they're putting soybeans on them. So you have seen some basis appreciation there. There really isn't a huge program out of the Gulf or off the PNW this year. So overall, it's just really slow on the soybean front, hence why you're seeing, you know, a low price and then also a lot of people storing beans.
And when we do talk about transportation, is it all going more west and south? Or are we able to use the lake over there out of Port of Milwaukee to transport some that way?
Yeah, a lot of it is heading down the Mississippi as of right now. Not a ton coming out of the Port of Milwaukee there as of today.
And if we look at how all this storage and just slow movement transportation, how is this affecting the basis price for those farmers?
Yeah, we're seeing a wide basis this year on the soybean front. You're not seeing your traditional harvest basis, I would say, and that comes back to exports, right, and not having a lot of grain leave the United States. So we've kept basis wide here through the fall harvest, and until we see a reason why it needs to firm up, whether that's export demand or internal domestic demand, I don't know if we'll see basis get back to those levels that we traditionally are used to at this point.
And if we talk about that grain, that stuff that we have coming in, what's the moisture level looking like on that? Because, I mean, we had a pretty dry year, I know, in other states further south, it's really, really dry, like too dry. But up here, we had a little bit more rain. Is it coming in at a good moisture? Is it too dry? And how much drying has been needed to be done?
Yeah, on the soybean front, you know, they came in anywhere from 9 to 12%, so a little bit on the lower side. You know, obviously not having any really rain through September and the early part of October, we've saw some pretty good dry down in this corn crop. The corn crop's running, you know, right around that 17 to 18% moisture. So there is some moisture out there in it, but definitely on the drier side this year.
And with it on the drier side, does that affect your ability to be able to send it in for certain things, sending it into certain plants and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, really, when it comes to corn, we're targeting a 15% moisture on that. So, you know, there's a few points that we have to dry it down, but from the ability to store it and things of that nature, it's at a good level coming in off the field, and definitely a handability of the crop has been good with that moisture level as well.
And with those few farmers that actually do need their crop to dry down, what are they expecting to have to pay for that dry down?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few ways that, you know, obviously you have the cost of dryer at the co-op, and then you have the cost of drying it at home and the price of propane and everything else involved in there. And, you know, the one thing that we're watching this year, too, is what is the cost of leaving it dry in the field? You know, for the longer we let that corn out there, and with the disease pressure that we had this year, is there going to be standability issues with this corn? So one thing that we're looking at there is, at what point do you just need to go get it before it becomes too late and we have an issue out in the field?
Yeah. And if we start looking more into the future, a lot of farmers are already starting to plan for next year, whether it comes to fertilizer or seed. What are some of those things that they should be paying attention to? I mean, probably policy is one of the big ones, but what are some of those things they should be paying attention to and watching for as they start their planning?
Yeah, I think there's a few different things here. You know, we've had a good fall as far as weather goes, and getting your fall fertilizer out there is a huge thing right now, right? So what's my opportunity to go get that done here before the spring? And price-wise, you know, fertilizer is on the higher side. Specifically, the phosphates are definitely at a higher level. You're seeing some folks cut back there from that decision to try and save some money. You know, I think looking into the future here, we got to be thinking about what opportunity is out there to go match up a grain sale and a fertilizer purchase to cover that whole package. Right now, you're seeing price levels for 2026 trade higher than where we are today at 450 corn and above. So seeing that and trying to go pair up your fertilizer with that. And you know, you made a comment on trade policy and tariffs and all that. Definitely is impacting the fertilizer market. You know, Russia is a huge producer, and so is China of fertilizer. So there is impact there. When it comes to the United States, we do import quite a bit of fertilizer, and that is going to have an effect looking into next year.
And you're mentioning importing fertilizer. What are some of those ones that we should really be looking at, especially with this policy? I know you mentioned Russia has some, but I also know like potash, a lot of that comes from Canada, and we've kind of slowed down in the amount coming from there. What are some of those ones that farmers might be expecting to pay more for?
Yeah, I think the what we're watching right now is what's happening in the phosphate markets. So you're watching your DAP price, and then you know, the other thing is nitrogen. Obviously, we have a big demand for nitrogen here in the United States, and we do produce that, but we import quite a bit of that. So what's happening with urea or liquid nitrogen for this upcoming year, as we see prices there are firm? Are we creating enough, and is there enough on the market to encourage the price to move lower? I think that's something to keep your eye on. And if it does or if it doesn't, you know, it feels today that market is comfortable to firm. So that's definitely one we're keeping an eye on is nitrogen market.
Dylan says, as we get closer to the end of harvest, think about the big corn crop we are pulling out and how that also pulls out a lot of nutrients. He also says to maybe start thinking about forward contracting for next year. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says, words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
And the weather's nice. There's a lot less shall we say, vocal conflict between husband and I getting things done. You know what I mean?
Well, a little less stress on the whole situation.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And now, you know, pivoting, moving to this week, the temperatures still look pretty doggone good. I'm going to guess we're above average as far as overall temperatures. And I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like the rain is going to amount to much either.
No, not much of a rain threat, but a couple of chances we have to look at. And temps ought to be right around normal. I mean, mid-50s, low 50s in the south, mid-50s, 56 in the west. Those are normal daytime highs. So we're going to be right around there, maybe a little above getting the week underway. We have to look at low pressure out to the west, trying to bring a front into the Dakotas today. Boy, that sounds a long way off, and it really is. There's some scattered rain in north and central South Dakota and back into Wyoming as well, but none of that imminent threat in Wisconsin. I'd expect that front approaches, and there'll be a slight rain chance in the west, maybe even on toward tonight, and then a slight chance many locations Tuesday. I mean a slight chance, a little sprinkle if we see it. Maybe there'll be a little light rain that holds together here or there, but I just don't expect a great deal of precipitation. That possibility all drying up already into Wednesday. The temperatures may cool a little bit with some clouds and maybe some of that rain chance, but still around normal right on toward the end of the week. And in the upcoming weekend, oh, maybe late Friday or then later Saturday, another chance of a little rain may try to wedge in. None of it going to amount to a great deal. We're not suddenly going to flood it out and watch water stand in the fields. That's not going to be happening with these systems, but it may add to just a little bit of a muddy situation. That's about all there is. The only big difference to talk about today, I see a few reports of some patchy fog, even from Boston up into central and northeast Wisconsin, far north central parts of the state, a little on the foggy side. Watch out for that. Otherwise, we're really in for some sunshine and nice weather. I can mention with more of an easterly breeze for a couple of days, if you're along the lake shore, even Green Bay and further south, it's going to be a little cooler, because that cooler water is going to provide us with some of that cool on with that east breeze. Nothing drastic, not going to freeze us or anything, just not quite as warm as it'll be a bit further west. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
All righty, Stu, let's talk a little bit. I mean, the poor folks in Jamaica getting ready for Hurricane Melissa. That's not going to spin any moisture up our way, is it?
No, I don't think it'll have a big influence. You know, the slightest of possibilities here. I see Melissa strengthened to a Category 5 now.
Oh.
Yeah, that was just a news update popped in. So they're going to start getting pounded more. That's not the case here in the Midwest, Wisconsin especially, as I expect we're in for a pretty good deal of sunshine today. A few clouds in the northwest, I'd anticipate, and temps ought to be in the mid and upper 50s. We'll flirt with the 60s, say La Crosse toward Madison, with east winds about 5 to 15. That's slight rain chance in the west late tonight, partly cloudy otherwise, upper 30s to about 40 for overnight lows, still with an east breeze. Tomorrow, more clouds and a slight chance of a scattered shower. Not going to rain all that much. Those temps in the mid and upper 50s again, with east winds at 5 to 15. The rain chance lingers, be it very slight, into early Wednesday. I'd say some sun a little later Wednesday, Pam, low to mid 50s, with the northeast wind a little stronger, 10 to 20. And then we moderate again, mid 50s toward the end of the week, a small rain chance toward late Friday.
Okay. Yeah, it's, you know, we just haven't seen anything measurable. Mark on Cyene Road here here in the Madison area, just a tenth of an inch pretty much all through the weekend. I'm seeing that from a lot of our talk text communicators.
Yeah. Didn't add up much, a hundredth of an inch or a couple here and there. That was it. So,
all right, bud. We'll catch in with you tomorrow, see if any improvement on that rain develops.
All right, we'll watch it.
Stumach, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Find them at compure.com. Go ahead. Talk's text line is open to you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%,
wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right?
But, you know, the catch with this one is, farmers don't have a choice. If the departments decide they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But
right.
They say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm, and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Melissa has now grown into a Category 5 hurricane as it barrels toward Jamaica. ABC's Ike Ajachi is in Kingston, where the winds are calm now, but will ramp up later today.
More than 650 emergency shelters are open, and officials, they've already pre-positioned thousands of food packages across the island. And, of course, the Norman Manley International Airport in Kingston, the main airport, that's already closed ahead of the storm, with other transportation options expected to follow. We know that all of the seaports are already closed.
Melissa's wind speeds right now, 160 miles an hour. President Trump has landed in Tokyo as he continues his Asian tour. Later this week, he will sit down with Chinese leader Xi Jinping to talk about trade. Food assistance for some 40 million Americans will run out this weekend without a compromise on the government shutdown. And two suspects arrested over the weekend in connection with the jewel thief at the Louvre. This is ABC News.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays to be made, and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
Pittsburgh will host the Colts. NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to the low to mid 50s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be mostly clear. We'll drop into the low 40s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a few scattered showers with a high right around 53. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, yeah. And it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is, there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain, make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meat packing place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops. And it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street. And it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger. As far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
So glad you're along with us. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on the 27th day of October. On this day in 1682, Philadelphia was founded. Said you were an awful lot of the construction of U.S. policy began, right? On this day, 1682, Philadelphia is founded. On this day, 1904, the New York City subway begins operations. And imagine the people it's carried since then and even today. Some happy birthdays. John Cleese, of course, known for his comedic efforts with the Monty Python group, turns 86 today. And the former Mrs. Donald Trump, Marla Maples, she is 62 on this Monday. And now you know. We now know that by the end of the week, some 40 million U.S. citizens could be facing food insecurity. Why? Because of the government's shutdown. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced that they will not be executing the next round of Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program benefits, which expire on October 31st. Memo came out from the U.S. Department of Agriculture last week that said they are unable to move forward with those food assistance programs because the government shut down. States like Texas, Oklahoma, California, and New York have already posted warnings that SNAP benefits would be paused beginning November 1st before USDA's memo became public. In Wisconsin, SNAP is called Food Share. Governor Tony Evers has warned that that food assistance program is going to run out of funds by the end of the week. So local food pantries are bracing for what they know is going to be a sudden surge on demand. The Wisconsin Farmers Union trying to step up to help their neighbors. Kylie Allen explains.
Thanks to the Wisconsin Farmers Union and the Farmers Union Enterprises, 35,000 pounds of pork have made it to eastern Wisconsin food pantries. Darren Von Ruden is the president of the board of directors of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he tells us exactly what this donation means to local communities.
So the Farmers Union Enterprises and Farmers Union Industries have done this a few times now over the past half a dozen years or so. The donation of 35,000 pounds of pork to five different states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota, and Montana, are all a part of Farmers Union Enterprises. And just felt that with the current situation and farmers especially in a bad spot, but also with the federal government and not knowing if there's going to be SNAP dollars available, wanted to make sure that communities around the upper Midwest had a little bit extra protein to consume and be available for those folks that can't afford to buy it. And, you know, it's one of those things that as farmers, we want to make sure that people have high quality food. And this is one way to make sure it gets into, you know, some parts of the states.
Well, with that current situation you were talking about, is that a concern that you're hearing from farmers if the SNAP program were to be eliminated?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've got quite a few members, and I'm sure there's a lot of non-Farmers Union members, too, that are actually participating in that program because the farm economy is not very good right now, and that's a means of being able to provide for your family.
Well, you said that this pork went to five different states. Where did it go in Wisconsin?
So in Wisconsin this year, it went to the Appleton area, so northeast Wisconsin, and through Feeding America, we'll distribute that to the proper channels to make sure that it gets into the hands of those that are in the most need.
Well, you said this year Appleton. Does that mean it rotates every year?
So it's been, we donated last year into southeast Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. The year before, we didn't do a donation. And then I think it was 4 years ago, we had a donation that went into the Eau Claire area.
Well, I personally am a big fan of pork, but tell me, why was pork their protein of choice for this donation?
Yeah, so Farmers Union Industries owned a pork processing facilities in Estherville, Iowa. And there's usually some cuts that aren't big sellers or that we might have building up too much. And so this was another one of those years where we had some extra product in storage. And so decided to make use of it by distributing it to the food pantries throughout the upper Midwest.
Well, and tell me, why is this a cause or a donation that is important to Farmers Union?
Number one, to show that farmers really care about what's going on in their communities and want to make sure that their neighbors have a healthy source of food, but number two, also just making sure that those that are in most need have a source to get their proteins from and a reliable source.
Darren Von Ruden, the president of the board of directors of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
So on a Monday morning, markets are up in overnight electronic trade. Over the weekend, we got a few more details about some trade agreements between Thailand and Vietnam, also Malaysia and Cambodia. And that means that production agriculture is feeling a little bit better about some of the arteries they depend on for things like meat and corn. In overnight electronic trade this morning, right now, we've got the December corn currently up 6 at 429. March corn up 7 at 444. November soybeans right now are up 18 cents at 1060. January beans up 18 cents on this news at 1078. The wheat for July is up 9 at 559. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished a penny and a half higher, 177. 40-pound block cheese was up 5 1/4 cents at 177 and 3/4. The AA butter, 4 cents higher, 160 and a quarter per pound. November class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up 13 cents at 1798. December milk, that's up 11, currently at 1740 a hundredweight. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, reminding dairy producers that since the USDA's Farm Service Agency office is open, remember, you have an opportunity to get signed up for a fairly new dairy beef insurance program.
Right now, the profit is coming from the calf values because the milk prices are only lackluster. And it was kind of perfect timing that USDA launched this product right at the same time that calf values are hitting new record high levels. And so we have been encouraging dairy producers to go out and learn more to see if it would be a good fit for their farm. Because while the milk prices you can protect for next year are only so-so, you can go out and protect nearly record high calf prices out till next summer.
A little advice from Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, talking about potential fee increases for livestock marketing in Wisconsin. Stephanie Hoff's got that story next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Brickstead Dairy Farm, located at 1734 Wayside Road in Greenleaf, Wisconsin, is a five-generation family-owned and operated dairy that was founded in the mid-1800s. Their mission is to be your source for local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. No growth hormones, antibiotics, or artificial pesticides in their cattle. Check out their website at BricksteadDairy.com for a variety of ship direct-to-you ordering options. Brickstead Dairy Farm, smart dairy, healthy planet.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What is your favorite or least favorite word? Cinnamon. Love that word. And it's a superfood. I don't like the word buttress just because I'm immature. Con.
My favorite word is scoundrel. I would also say buttocks.
I said buttress and you said buttocks. John in Madison says words with silent letters bug me too. Pneumonia. Dumb. Funny because my name is John.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
With a topic that we've been discussing quite a little bit in the farm department and in Wisconsin agriculture as a whole. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection proposing some pretty steep fee increases that could impact Wisconsin's entire livestock marketing system, from the livestock yards where the transaction takes place to the livestock truckers that move animals from one place to the other, and ultimately right back down to the farm gate where those fees would most likely land on the farmers selling livestock. Stephanie Hoff chatted with our Assembly Agriculture Chair, Travis Tranel, about that and more.
The comment period is over for the livestock fee increases proposed by the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Now the board is looking over those comments to come to a decision. In some cases, the initial increase would be up to 1,700%. DATCAP has the rulemaking authority to go through with its proposal, but the state legislature is setting up a bill to keep prices where they are for Wisconsin livestock yards, haulers, and ultimately producers. Representative Travis Tranel is the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. He tells us what's on the table and also what he's hearing from the agency.
We have had good conversations with Secretary Romanski at DATCAP, and I am hopeful that DATCAP will review everything that was submitted during the public comment period, and I hope that they realize this is not such a good idea. Because we all know at the end of the day, these fees are going to be passed on to producers, which is ultimately my main concern. To rewind a little bit, a lot of this comes out of a recent court case where the Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin essentially said the legislature has no ability to oversee agency action anymore. That is a big problem, in my opinion, because bureaucrats aren't elected. People don't necessarily know who they are. And there isn't a lot of accountability. And so Senator Quinn and I were trying to come up with a way where we can still be hopeful that our conversations with DATCAP are going to be fruitful. And at the end of the day, DATCAP will do the right thing and come up with a better plan. But we also came up with legislation that would put the current fees into statute, meaning that DATCAP would not be able to raise them because they are now law. Obviously, it's very unlikely that the governor would sign this bill because DATCAP is his agency. But it does give us, as members of the legislature, an opportunity to, one, take an official stance, and two, if we would have to move forward with this proposal, it would force other members of the legislature to have to vote. And one of the problems I have when we turn to agencies and let agencies make unilateral decisions like this is, again, there's no accountability. So everybody can say, well, I don't like it, but it's out of my control. Well, this proposal would give people an opportunity to do something. And so hopefully we don't have to move it, but if we need to, we're prepared to. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we're just doing our job, sticking up for Wisconsin agriculture and our constituents.
Are you waiting to hear from an answer from DATCAP before moving this along, or are you going to push this before an answer to DATCAP?
We'll continue to move this process forward and hope that ultimately it's not needed. A lot of it is up to DATCAP, too. We'll see how fast DATCAP wants to move. So we're keeping many tools in the toolbox, so to speak.
To be clear, the legislature can reverse a decision via this method if an agency decides to act with their newfound freedom.
We wouldn't necessarily be reversing their decision. We would be codifying into state law that the current fees are going to remain the fees. So we could only do that by passing a bill through the assembly, through the Senate, and having the governor sign it. So again, it's very unlikely that the governor would sign a bill that would do the exact opposite of what his own agency wants to do. But the legislature always has the ability. We can override vetoes, for example. It's just another way for the legislature to clearly show that we don't think this is a good idea.
DNR is another one that's regulating agriculture. Do you see anything that they're working on similar to DATCAP, where they're trying to get something through, again, with this, with the new flexibility that they have?
So a lot of times it's too esoteric, especially for farmers, because they're so busy. They don't want to dive into the intricacies of how government works. But we passed some legislation. It was called Write the Rules. Governor Scott Walker signed that legislation. And ultimately what it did, anytime an agency came up with a rule that was going to cost private business $5 million or more to implement, that rule had to come in front of the legislature for legislative approval. Through the courts now, because we had some elections in this state, our Supreme Court is elected. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people don't vote because they don't think it's important to vote in spring elections. It is. So there was a lawsuit. The new liberal-leaning Supreme Court decided that that's no longer going to be the policy in the state of Wisconsin. So now we have no legislative ability to oversee these agencies. So to your point, am I concerned that agencies have the same rulemaking authority as the legislature to essentially create law when they're not elected and not accountable? I think we should all be concerned about that.
Any other comments on the DATCAP licensing discussion, the fee increase that they're mulling over right now before we move on?
I was impressed that producers and farmers took our call to get involved with the public comment period seriously. I had lots of people, some people who weren't even directly involved in agriculture, reach out. We asked them to comment. I do feel like the agency did hear people when they made their comments, and I think that's an important part of the process. And I would just remind people, I feel like a broken record, and I say this all the time, but this is just another good example as to why people in agriculture, a $115 billion industry in this state, need to pay attention to politics all the time, just not when an agency comes up with a preposterous proposal.
This legislation is looking for co-sponsorship in the Capitol before Wednesday. In Representative Travis Tranel's words, it's a tool in the toolbox to keep fees related to animal market dealer, and trucker licenses at the same amount as published in December 2024. The hope is that the bill won't be needed and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection does not put increases of up to 1,700% on the ag industry. Representative Tranel hopes that DATCAP finds another solution to get out of its budget deficit. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
State officials and farm leaders in two blue states take issue with the new tariff policies. We'll start with Colorado today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. Something as simple as emptying a grain bin can lead to tragedy. Grain headed toward an auger is like quicksand, and farmers who've been pulled under have suffocated. If you absolutely have to be in the bin, make sure you're wearing a safety harness tethered to keep you above the surface. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. In the presidential election nearly a year ago, voters in Colorado favored Kamala Harris over Donald Trump. So, no surprise that there's some pushback there concerning Trump's stance on tariffs, particularly with respect to agriculture. Dave Young is the Colorado State Treasurer.
Unpredictable tariffs mean ranchers can't plan for the next season's feed costs and equipment dealers can't forecast orders. Processors can't secure stable export contracts. That uncertainty doesn't just hurt producers. It ripples through every part of the supply chain. That ultimately raises prices for consumers, and that makes us all concerned.
Chad Franke, president of the Rocky Mountain Farmers Union, says the biggest impact of the tariff scenario is uncertainty.
The effects of tariffs on agricultural producers, especially family farmers and ranchers, is complicated and difficult to quantify. We ask that tariffs be utilized as a tool in a well-thought-out trade policy, and when implemented, done in ways which do not further the loss of family agricultural operations.
Young and Frank's counterparts in Minnesota share these tariff sentiments, and we'll hear from them tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The John and Gordy Show.
Give us a jingle. What do you got for us, Dick? What do you got for us, Charles?
We have CG on the line.
Mark, what do you got for us?
We have Matt on the phone.
Joe, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Great show, as always. Your callers are the spice that makes your stew the most wonderful thing ever.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Joe, thank you for that comment.
We have this round table, and we've got all these great listeners who call us on a regular basis and throw their two cents, and this is fantastic stuff.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm, bringing you local news and timeless hits while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Daylight saving time ends this weekend. Turn your clocks back 1 hour and take the extra time to replace the batteries in your smoke detectors too. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
If it happens in Wisconsin, you'll hear about it on the station with local news and...
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Category 5 now, Hurricane Melissa threatening to dump more than 3 feet of water on Jamaica as it moves toward the island.
This morning, Hurricane Melissa closing in on Jamaica. A storm forecasters warn could be catastrophic. Heavy rain already lashing the island. Up to 40 inches expected in some areas, which could trigger landslides.
That's ABC's Sophie Flay. President Trump is in Tokyo. Part of his Asian tour, he'll meet with the new prime minister, the country's first woman on the job. He'll meet with China's leader, Xi Jinping, on Thursday. The Trump administration cutting off federal food aid as of November 1st, which is this weekend, as the federal government shutdown continues. About 40 million Americans rely on those SNAP benefits. Flights departing of LAX in Los Angeles halted briefly amid an air traffic control shortage caused by the government shutdown. Those who are working are doing so without pay. This is ABC News. Early